to talk like Earthmen about our work, and to meet our future pilot brothers. The sled moved under the drill tree shaft, then rose in a cloud of bubbles. The others followed. Chapter 22. Krydike. The briefing had gone on far too long. Krydike regretted ever letting Charles Dart attend via holoscreen. The chimp planetologist would have been less long-winded if he were here in the fizzing oxy water of the Central Bay, wet and wearing a face mask. Dart lounged in his own laboratory, projecting his image, oblivious to the chafing of his listeners. Breathing oxy water in front of a console for 2 hours was highly uncomfortable to a neophin.
"Naturally, Captain." The chimp's scratchy baritone throbbed into the water. "When you chose to land us near a major tectonic boundary, I approved wholeheartedly. Nowhere else offered so much data in one spot. Still, I think I've made a convincing case for 6 or 7 more sampling sites distributed about Kithrop to verify some of the extremely interesting discoveries we've made here."
Krydike was mildly surprised. Using the first personal plural was the first modest thing Charlie had said. Brukita floated nearby. The metallurgist had been working with Charles Dart, his skills not currently required by the repair team. He had been largely silent for the last hour, letting the chimp pour out tides of tactical jargon. "What's the matter with Brukita? Does he think a captain under siege has nothing better to do?" Ikahi, recently released from sickbay, rolled over on her back, breathing the fizzing oxygenated fluid and keeping one eye to the hologram of the chimpanzee. "She shouldn't do that," Krydike thought. "I'm having enough trouble concentrating as it is." A lengthy, constricting meeting always did this to Krydike. He felt a stirring of blood in and around his penile sheath. What he wanted to do was swim over to Ikahi and bite her softly in numerous places up and down her flanks. Kinky, yes, especially in public. But at least he was honest with himself. "Planetologist Dart," he sighed. "I am trying very hard to understand what you claim to have discovered, the part about various crystalline and isotopic anomalies below the crust of Kithrop. I think I follow. As for the subduction layer..."
"A subduction zone is a boundary of 2 crustal plates, where one slips below its neighbor," Charlie interrupted.
Krydike wished he could let down his dignity to curse. "I know that much planetology, Dr. Dart." He spoke carefully. "And I'm glad our being near one of these plate boundaries is useful to you. But our choice of landing site was based on matters tactical. We want the metals and camouflage offered by the coral mounds. With hostile cruisers overhead, I can't think of permitting expeditions to other parts of the globe. In fact, I must refuse your request for further drilling at this location. The risk is too great." The chimp frowned. His hands began to flutter. Before he found the words, Krydike cut him off. "Besides, what does the ship's microbranch say about Kithrop? Doesn't the library contribute anything on these problems you face?"
"The library," Dart snorted. "That pack of lies, that friggin' morass of misinformation."
Charlie's voice dropped to a growl.
"It has nothing on the anomalies. It doesn't even mention the metal mounds. The last survey was done over 400 million years ago, when the planet was put on reserve status for the Kerank."
Charlie became so strangled around the extended glottal stop that he started to choke. He went bug-eyed and pounded himself on the chest, coughing. Krydike turned to Brukita. Is this true? Is the library so deficient on this planet?
Yes, Brukita nodded slowly. 400 epochs is a long time. When a world is placed on reserve, it's usually either to let it lie fallow, while new species evolve to a level ripe for uplift, or to provide a quiet place of decline for an ancient race entering senescence. Planets are placed off limits either to become nurseries or old age homes. Both seem to have occurred on Kithrop. We have discovered a ripe, pre-sentient race, which has apparently risen since the last library update. Also, the Karank, Brukida, too, had trouble with the name, were granted the planet as a peaceful place to die, which they apparently have done. There seemed to be no Karank anymore.
But 400 epochs without a resurvey? It was difficult to imagine.
Yes, a planet is usually relicensed by the Institute of Migration long before that. Still, Kithrop is such a strange world. Few species would choose to live here. Also, good access routes are scarce. This region of space is gravitationally very shallow. It's one reason we came here.
Charles Dart was still catching his breath. He drank from a tall glass of water. During the respite, Krydeke lay still, thinking. Despite Brukita's points, would Kithrop really have been left fallow for so long in an overcrowded galaxy where every piece of real estate was desired? The Institute of Migration was the only one of the loose galactic bureaucracies whose power and influence rivaled even that of the Library Institute. By tradition, all patron lines obeyed its codes of ecosphere management. To do otherwise courted galaxy-wide disaster. The potential of lesser species to one day become clients, then patrons in their own time, made for a powerful galaxy-wide ecological conservatism. Most galactics were willing to overlook humanity's pre-contact record. The slaughter of the mammoth, the giant ground sloth, and the manatee were forgiven in light of mankind's orphan status. The real blame was laid on Homo sapiens' supposed patron, the mysterious, undiscovered race that all said must have left humanity's uplift half-finished thousands of years ago. Dolphins knew how close the cetaceans themselves had come to extinction at the hands of human beings, but they never mentioned it outside Earth. For well or ill, their fate was now linked to mankind's. Earth was humanity's until the race moved on or died out. Her 10 colony worlds were licensed for smaller periods, based on complex eco-management plans. The shortest lease was a mere 6,000 years. Then the colonists of At Last had to depart, leaving the planet fallow once again.
400 million years, Krydeke mulled. That seems an unusually long time with no resurvey.
I agree,
Charlie Dart shouted, now fully recovered.
And what if I told you Kithrop was occupied by a machine civilization as recently as 30,000 years ago, without any entry in the library at all?
Hikaki rolled over closer. You think these crustal anomalies betray an interloper civilization, Dr. Dart?
Yes,
he cried.
Exactly. You all know many eco-sensitive races will only build major facilities along a planet's plate boundaries. That way, when the planet is later declared fallow, all traces of habitation will be sucked down into the mantle and disappear. And some think that's why there are no signs of previous occupancy on Earth.
Hikaki nodded. And if some species settled here illegally?
They'd build only at a plate boundary, The library surveys planets at multi-epoch intervals. All evidence of the incursion would be sucked underground by then.